It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena, Mayor Phil Goff, how are you?
Atamarie, I'm a happy tramper, trooper today or something. I'm just watching the rain outside. And,
yes.
we really needed it.
We do.
I'm at home this morning because I'm about to head down to Papakura High School for an opening for a group called the Rising Foundation, which was set up by a group of South Auckland kids, headed up by a guy called John Bongard, who grew up in a state house, single mum, you know, no great advantages in life, and went to Papakura High and went on to become one of our most successful business leaders in New Zealand as the chief executive of, former chief executive of Fisher & Paykel. And he's set up this foundation which helps kids make the most of their life opportunities, even if they start life from a disadvantaged position. So I'm just giving them a plug this morning.
Sounds like that'll be a great morning for you.
On my mind. Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be really great. Well, it is good that it's raining because our dams are not anywhere near where they should be. 66.8% full compared to 91.4%, which is what it would normally be at this time of the year. But we are seeing some easing restrictions for businesses. Can you walk us through why that's happening? And also, is this going to be a permanent thing, or is this something you might walk back if we see this drought worsen?
Yeah, look, if the drought worsens, then obviously we've got to take stricter measures. But so far, look, big call out for Aucklanders, both businesses and households. We were saving through the winter about 40 million litres a day. And that's not because of any mandatory restriction. That's largely because people were taking on board the message, you know, don't spend quite so long in the shower. Or the businesses were the big water users, including Auckland Council. Auckland Council saved 30% of its water use, and some of the other big businesses up to 20%. So we've done really well there, and we've also brought on extra supply so far of another 25 million litres a day, particularly from the Waikato and the finishing of a new water treatment plant and reservoir that we've built there. But notwithstanding that, we had a really dry September and until last night, a dry October. And, you know, we've got about, I think, 11 mils out there in my rain gauge today. But we are way behind where we'd normally be in our lake storage level. So even though we've brought on more supply, even though people have been saving,
what
we
is
haven't
the,
made much difference.
What is the logic then for easing some of these restrictions for businesses?
Well, the logic is that the businesses on which we're easing these don't use a heck of a lot of water, less than probably 0.7 of 1%.
So what kind of businesses are we talking about?
We're talking about largely businesses that are exterior house cleaners, people that, you know, come and water blast the mould and the dirt off your house or your paths and stop them being dangerous. And what they've done is they've taken steps themselves. They've set up an association where they have developed a best practice code for water conservation. They provide training for their members. But they've been through COVID-19 and suffered financially, and then not being able to utilise water out of the tap has also made it really hard for them. So we're talking about preserving jobs and preserving businesses with only having a minor effect. And, you know, even so, if things get worse, we would have to reinstate those restrictions. And we haven't lifted the restrictions on use of a garden hose at home. You can go out and water your garden by bucket. You can wash your car with a bucket and a cloth. You can't use a hose. And that's because, you know, we've had two huge droughts, the worst ever in our city's history. And at the beginning of spring, we looked like we're on a path to a third drought. We still don't know yet. Nobody's very good at predicting the weather. So we're not out of the woods yet. We will be bringing on more supply, but we still have to conserve our water. So the message is we're doing everything we can to stop having to impose more strict restrictions. But everybody still needs to play a part, just as we all did in defeating COVID-19. And if we get a La Nina condition over summer, hopefully that will bring a bit of summer rain that we never got last year. But you can't bank on that. You've got to act now as if we might have another really dry summer, and therefore we've got to keep up our efforts to conserve water.
Well, I just wanted to talk a little bit about something that percolates away in the back of Aucklanders' brains, I think, and then bubbles up every couple of years, and that is congestion charging. And Todd Nile has written a piece for Stuff around this, and I think it's quite timely considering we're talking a lot about how we get around our city with the Auckland Harbour Bridge at the moment. Now, congestion charging, can you tell us a little bit about what it would mean for Auckland if we brought it in, and is it something that we might see in the near future for the city?
Won't be the near future, but hopefully it might be a couple of years out. What it is a form of road charging that puts a charge on, a higher charge when you use key arterial roads at peak hours, and it's designed as a form of demand management. It's designed to discourage people where they can from using private vehicles, say, going into the city along the Southern Motorway or the Northern Motorway or the Northwestern at peak hours, and to consider using other forms such as public transportation. They did it in London with some success because the streets in the centre of London were hugely clogged up. They do it in Singapore. They've been doing that in Singapore for years. They do it in Stockholm. There's a range of cities around the world that do it. Now, if you did that, it would probably replace the regional fuel tax.
Mm-hmm.
It's not designed primarily as a fundraiser, although we need the public finance to strengthen our transport system and particularly our public transport system. But it's designed at the same time also to influence people's behaviour. So it might influence you if you know that you've got to pay several dollars to go into town at peak hours on the motorway. If you've got the alternative of catching the train or a bus in, that might push you in that direction. And a survey done by the AA recently indicated that people would change their behaviour. It also indicated that the AA is actually in favour of it, the Automobile Association. But when they did the survey, the majority of people weren't in favour of it. None of us are in favour of, you know, paying more for anything if we don't have to. But internationally, it has shown that it does work in reducing congestion, and both Labor and National have shown some support for it. It would have to be legislated by central government, and it would probably be, if the decision was taken by central government to do it, it would probably take maybe a year or two to bring into effect. Which time we'd also need to strengthen our public transport system as an option.
Yes, as you mentioned, you do need a very strong public transport system to sort of make something like this work, and that is something that some Aucklanders might find a bit frustrating at the moment. I know there was a lot of frustration around some trains not running on the first weekend of Level 1. What's going on there at the moment, Phil? Because there is a little bit of a sense that people are trying to get on the bus, they're trying to get on the train and finding it a little bit hard at the moment.
Yeah, well, obviously, in the last few years, we've done incredibly well. We've lifted up the number of public transport trips to, I think, about 103, 104 million until COVID came along. That's a million trips a year. And that's way up. It's double what it was, say, 10 years ago. We have really improved our train system, and the City Rail Link, obviously coming into effect in 2024, will double the capacity of that. The problem with the rails at the moment is that Kiwi Rail, which is a central government organisation, has found cracks in the rails, which may reflect inadequate maintenance in the past, or they're still trying to work out what's causing the fractures. So they're replacing 100 kilometres of rail line, and that is frustrating because until it's replaced, the speed limits have been reduced, and while it's being replaced, sections of the rail line will be out of service. It is what it is, but by just after Christmas, those rail lines will have been replaced. Our bus service is obviously a whole lot better than it used to be with the double-deckers, and increasingly we'll have electric rather than diesel buses. Our ferry services really increased in numbers using them during the Harbour Bridge problem. And I think, between those three things and strengthening those three services, a new third main trunk rail line that we've now got funding for, the electrification to Pukekohe, all of that will make a difference. But, to be frank, work on this should have been done 20 years ago, not now. And we're trying to do everything flat out at the same time now, which creates its own frustrations because of the sheer amount of construction that we need to do. But it is necessary. And, you know, just when we're not, you know, people that have lived in London, as I have, know that you never try to drive your car across London. You hop on the tube, you hop on a bus, you catch a train. You don't try to drive because there's no parking and everything's congested. And Auckland is becoming a large city, and the same rules will apply as in any other large city. You can't fit more cars on the road. Therefore, you've got to look at better public transport systems and different ways of doing things.
Certainly.
Better cycleways, walkways, etc.
We better move on to our last topic, which I just want to touch on briefly. There's been some concern around the potential job cuts that the council's flagged as part of trying to, you know, make back some of this money that everybody's lost over COVID-19. There has been some concern that this could lead to issues for our services and our public infrastructure. How is the council going to make sure that this is not going to have a huge widespread impact on the way the city's run at the moment?
Yeah, because what we're looking at doing, we've got to slim down our organisation. We lost $450 million during COVID-19, and you can't invent the money. You know, unless you want to really push rates up high. You're going to have to run the organisation, you know, to do more with less. And the council has overwhelmingly voted for the emergency budget, as we had to, because you can't just run up your debt. That just loads it onto future generations.
But how do we make sure that these job cuts don't result in loss to our infrastructure?
Essentially, of the chief executive and the executive leadership team, they look at their organisation and they've got clear instructions from councillors. We need to save, you know, of the $450 million, we've got to save $120 million out of our current spending. And we've said we need to maintain our investment in major infrastructure projects to keep on building the things that we've just finished talking about. We've got to maintain our key services. So you've got to find ways of doing things more effectively and efficiently. And where we, you know, there are things, areas where we have duplication still, you know, after the amalgamation of years ago of the seven different cities, and they're working through the really difficult task of reducing our workforce by 500 full-time equivalent positions, and this is after we've cut back our consultancies, after we've cut back our temporary workers, etc. So it is a difficult task. It's not for elected representatives to interfere in the operational decisions they're making. We've made the big decision. Now it's up to the chief executive to find the best way of implementing that. And he, as a new chief executive, has said to me, look, we'll maintain our key services. We will maintain the level of investment that we're making in creating infrastructure, but we are going to have to find different ways of doing things. And it's not just cutting down on staff. You know, we all took a, you know, I took a 20% pay cut for a period of time, along with other councillors and other chief executives within council. We're looking at, you know, doing a whole lot of things that save money, but this is part of it, and this is just a necessary part of adjusting to a COVID world where we lost a hell of a lot of income.
Well, we might have to wrap it up there this morning, Phil, but thank you so much for your time, as per every Tuesday, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Look forward to catching up next week, and just hope the rain continues for a bit longer.
That would be good. Thank you.
Okay, take care. Bye.
Bye.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Thank you very much.